Good afternoon, 4:30 and 67 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Ashley Chapman.
They all cry like babies if anything gets cut. But what's interesting, their cries will be irrelevant if we run out of money.
Governor Bevin is talking about Kentucky's university presidents. He said he was trying to help the state pay off its massive public pension debt when he rescinded 2% of their budgets earlier this year.
Still no arrests, and an arson fire in Moorhead destroyed two businesses in April.
And Ashland City Commissioner Marty Gutz says a needle exchange program in Boyd County is curbing drug abuse.
In sports, the Falcons and Saints hit the gridiron in Monday Night Football.
Bud Luke has the stocks.
Mostly clear tonight and isolated showers later. Lows in the lower 50s. The complete forecast after this news.
Troopers from the Moorhead Post of the Kentucky State Police say a Campton man is in stable condition after the bicycle he was riding was hit by a car Sunday. MSPR's Kyle Blankenbuehler reports.
Maysville police are investigating after a body was found Friday. According to the Maysville Ledger Independent, the body of 50-year-old Kevin Noel was found slumped against a vehicle tire in the 300 block of Forest Avenue at 3:30 in the morning. EMTs and police were called to the scene but were unable to revive the man. An autopsy is scheduled for today, but police say no foul play is suspected.
Police in Scioto County are holding a 35-year-old man on charges of manufacturing methamphetamine after raiding a mobile home in Franklin Furnace. The Portsmouth Daily Times is reporting that Jason Giles was taken into custody at the residence on Arizona Avenue. The Southern Ohio Drug Task Force says officers confiscated a substance believed to be meth, along with a gas generator and other chemicals. Giles is held in the Scioto County Jail.
Kentucky Congressman Brett Guthrie says today's passage of the Synthetic Drug Regulation Act in the House adds 22 compounds to the list of federally controlled substances. The Bowling Green Republican spoke on the House floor.
Immediately strengthening DEA's ability to take swift action and get them off our streets. This list includes those that are marked K2 or spice, as well as fentanyl derivatives, estimated to be 100 times more powerful than morphine and linked to many overdoses and deaths.
Guthrie says manufacturers of the synthetic substances not currently regulated have managed to stay one step ahead of the Drug Enforcement Administration. However, he says the amendments approved today close the gap.
Police in Moorhead still have not wrapped up their probe of a fire in mid-April that left two Main Street businesses in ruins. While Chief Derek Blevin says authorities are certain the blaze was arson-related, they don't yet know who set it. The investigation is about to enter its sixth month, but Blevin doesn't consider that length of time unusual.
A lot of times, I mean, you kind of go where it leads you. I mean, most of the time, you know, of course, the longer it goes, you know, the tougher it is to solve. But, you know, sometimes you got to wait for things to come back from the lab and things like that.
The fire destroyed the H2O wireless and tobacco shop, along with the neighboring Electric Beach Tanning Salon. Neither business owner decided to rebuild, and the spot where their building once stood is now a vacant lot.
Minor damages and zero injuries were reported after an early morning fire in a Maysville row house. Officials are thankful, saying the blaze was contained to one row house, although an adjacent home did suffer some water damage. The cause of the fire at the office of attorney Ray Bugoki is not thought to be malicious or criminal. Case files and personal information survived unharmed.
A symbol of the coal industry's decline has been cleared from the landscape of the Big Sandy power plant near Louisa. Crews working for American Electric Power used more than 500 pounds of explosives to detonate a cooling tower at the site Saturday morning. Aaron Sink is manager of the plant, and he spoke with WSAZ.
Coal has certainly been a big part of this community. Prior to shutting down in 2015, this plant burned anywhere from 2 to 3 million tons of coal a year. So converting the unit to natural gas certainly has had an impact on this community.
Sink tells the Huntington Station there are no plans in place yet, but it is hoped that part of the land where the former coal facility operated can be used for industrial development.
Rowan County's detention center project was recently hit with $20,000 in change orders. Those orders come from a state construction manager who reviews certain building projects to make sure that all the work being done meets the required specifications. Rowan Judge Executive Walter Blevins says the amount of the change orders received by the county is not that unusual, adding contingency dollars will be used to cover the added expense.
It's not too shocking. It's not a major amount of money compared to the, you know, $17, $18 million project. So we're not ready to hoist the white flags yet, but our construction manager is doing a good job, Trace Creek, in trying to keep those dollars as low as they can. And they're trying to push back every time there is a change order to make sure it's something that's justifiable.
Rowan County's $18 million jail is being constructed on U.S. 60 East. It's expected to be finished in 2018.
Crews from the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet are beginning some major work on a section of Kentucky 519 in Rowan County. According to Cabinet spokesman Alan Blair, the effort will run from Clack Mountain to just past State Route 801.
You know, we're kind of moving into the real heavy-duty construction right now. Some of the bridge work has been completed. We still have another bridge to go. The contractors do. So, you know, that a lot of that work will continue throughout the winter. And, you know, we're kind of looking toward the end of next year to open up that highway.
Blair says that completion date could be pushed back if crews run into some weather delays this winter. The 519 project is being done at a cost of $10 million.
Morgan County is getting more than $24,000 in emergency road aid to make slip repairs to Beth Chapel Road. The funds are from the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet and enable the road, also known as County Road 1219, to be fixed less than a mile northeast of State Route 844. The Morgan County Fiscal Court will administer the project.
An Ashland City Commissioner who also serves on the Boyd County Health Board says a needle exchange program in the community is doing just what it was intended to do. Marty Goot says the once-a-week initiative is curbing drug abuse.
They provide them with a clean needle exchange in a sanitary container where it's not littered around the premises or around city parks to infect children and the public. And so it's been met with real success over there, and there's been a lot of people found assistance through this needle exchange.
And, says Goot, the needle exchange is reducing the incidence of HIV and hepatitis C cases.
U.S. Senator Rand Paul says he's planning to have a hearing in Kentucky on the rising cost of the EpiPen, which is used for the treatment of severe allergic reactions. The Republican tells CN2's Pure Politics that market forces appear to have been suppressed as the price jumped from $100 in 2007 to $640 today.
We're going to bring the FDA to Kentucky. We're going to talk to pharmacists and people who have been affected by the prices. And we're going to ask, why can't the government do a better job at allowing competition? And this is not the first time. I mean, tetracycline is used for a lot of common ailments. It's used in acne.
Paul made his comments while campaigning in northern Kentucky. He claims capitalism isn't the problem. The senator says the government hasn't done a very good job permitting competition.
A nonprofit health advocacy group is holding a public forum in Moorhead tonight on Kentucky Governor Matt Bevin's proposed changes to the state's expanded Medicaid program. The program, sponsored by Kentucky Voices for Health, begins at 6 o'clock at the Moorhead Conference Center. Marcy Timmerman is part of the KVH Coalition.
We want to make sure that folks know that this is really a chance to learn how this will impact themselves, their families, their communities, their neighbors, and even the economy. So really just kind of focused on that, making it very local for folks, really connecting them to so they understand what's going to happen potentially.
Timmerman says there will be a brief presentation on the governor's plans, followed by questions from the audience.
Governor Matt Bevin says he's still reviewing his options following last week's Kentucky Supreme Court ruling that found he illegally withheld 2% of the funding the state legislature had approved for higher education. The Republican talked about the decision on WHAS with host Leland Conway. Bevin says the court failed to cite a precedent for the basis of its decision, which he called poor and disappointing. He says Kentucky's public university presidents cry like babies whenever they get their funding cut.
They keep paying themselves more and more. I mean, we've got these university presidents making $500,000, $800,000, $1 million a year to run a public university, and they cry about how tough they have it and their budgets are hard. I've got the University of Kentucky has twice as much money in cash reserve as the state of Kentucky does, and yet we're the ones funding them. They've got $1 billion-plus endowment. So does the University of Louisville.
Bevin says his decision to rescind the money was an attempt to keep Kentucky government solvent as it tries to retire the state's public pension debt. He says universities won't have any money if the state can't pay its bills.
It may be politically unpopular, but State Representative Lou Nichols says he's a supporter. The green-up Democrat is talking about pay increases for Kentucky judges. Nichols is a former circuit court judge who says he knows what they face on a daily basis.
I came back at 4 o'clock in the morning one time after a jury trial, and to beat all my tires, somebody punched a hole in my tires. I guess they didn't like the outcome of the case. And that was an extreme example, but I know the good work that they do, and I know how competent they are. I've seen it, and I had more of an opportunity to see that as a senior judge when I started traveling throughout the Northeastern Kentucky doing that.
Nichols serves on the House Judiciary Committee. He made his comments Friday to Kentucky Supreme Court Chief Justice John Minton. Minton says judges in Kentucky are among the lowest paid in the country, and it'll be difficult to get qualified people to serve on the bench if that continues to be the case.
African Americans represent only 10% of the youngsters in Kentucky between the ages of 10 and 17, but most of the truancy, disorderly conduct, and assault complaints brought in school districts are filed against them. That's according to State Senator Whitney Westerfield. The Hopkinsville Republican chairs his chamber's Judiciary Committee. Citing statistics compiled by the administrative office of the courts, Westerfield says blacks are named in 45% of truancy cases compared to 44% for whites, while African Americans are said to account for 85% of the disorderly conduct complaints and 80% of assaults.
That's jacked up. It's wrong. And it's clearly showing some implicit bias somewhere. And there are lots of places where it can show up and does show up. But that's got to be fixed.
Westerfield made his comments Friday to Kentucky Supreme Court Chief Justice John Minton during a hearing in Frankfort.
And finally this afternoon, local candidates hoping to win election in November will have an opportunity to discuss their views during a public forum next month in Moorhead. The event will take place on October 18th at 6 p.m. at the city's conference center. Tony Pence is executive director of Downtown Moorhead, which is one of the sponsors of the forum. He says the event is important to the electoral process.
Very important. It has everything to do with people understanding who the candidates are, what the candidates are for, against. It'll be a cast of questioners. They will be asked questions amongst the panel. You'll just state your position, who you are, and why you're running, why you should vote for that person.
The event will feature candidates for Moorhead City Council, the 27th district seat of the Kentucky Senate, and the 99th district state house seat. It will be broadcast online on Moorhead State Public Radio and Gateway Radio, WIVY-FM.
Taking a look at the weather for the surrounding area, including the counties of Rowan, Bath, and Carter, tonight will be mostly clear, isolated showers in the evening, lows in the lower 50s. Tomorrow, sunny, highs in the lower 70s. Tuesday night, mostly clear, lows in the upper 40s. Wednesday will be partly sunny with a 40% chance of showers and highs in the lower 70s. That night, mostly cloudy with a 20% chance of showers and lows in the upper 40s. Thursday will be partly sunny with a 30% chance of showers and highs in the upper 60s. and Friday will be partly sunny with a 40% chance of showers and highs in the upper 60s. Temperatures for the surrounding area, it's currently 74 degrees in Ashland, 64 in Flemingsburg. Inez is at 74 degrees. It is currently 67 degrees in Lexington, 65 in Winchester, and it is currently 67 degrees on the campus of Moorhead.
4:45, you are listening to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. It is mighty fine to have your company on this Monday afternoon. On our feature segment, people in Carter County are trying to decide what to do about some abandoned mines that have a colorful history. Moorhead State University's Crystal Boggs has that story.
Let's go back to the place, a place called Lawton. Things have changed but not forgotten. Raven Store in the Mushroom Mines, Holler Ball in the Lawton Mines.
The limestone mines, commonly known as the Mushroom Mines, used to be a major job and income provider to Carter County, Kentucky. Located in Lawton, the mines were first used to mine limestone around 1910. They grew to be 136 acres and contained 2.6 million square feet of tunnels. After the mines closed, the tunnels were used to grow mushrooms for several years. In an attempt to bring back jobs in 2006, the mines were sold to Global Data Corporation, a data storage company from California. They wanted to construct an underground data storage center that would create 1,200 to 1,500 jobs. Construction began in 2008, and with months of construction companies being unpaid, they found the data company to be fraudulent. In more recent years, the mines have been used as a scene of a crime. A man was arrested for murdering his parents and hiding the bodies in a tunnel. It's known to be a hazing site for college students. Vandalism is common inside on the walls, and there has also been sightings of the KKK. Last year in 2015, Dan Click, the president of the Grayson Chamber of Commerce, mentioned possible uses for the mushroom mines. He said there's so many things you can do with it, especially for recreation purposes. He liked the idea of using the space for events and possibly even music concerts to hopefully attract tourists to Carter County.
I think the mushroom mines would be a great place for a recreational center. It would keep the kids out of the trouble today. It would keep them off the street. And it would be a great entertaining place. It would be good for a haunted trail. It's very spooky up there at night. And it is part of Carter County history.
That was Tim Barker, a local resident in Carter County. Many locals are against the recreational center, but others, such as Barker, are all for it. On the other hand, while most college students would be up for the idea, some think it would make problems such as hazing even more of an issue. Whitney Dunn, a student at Moorhead State University, had the following to say about it.
I feel like using the Mushroom Mines as a recreation center, coming from the perspective of a college student where it's used as a site for hazing, I feel like that's a really negative aspect of that. So I feel like it would be a bad idea to have it open as a recreation center because that would open up even more college students like, hey, we can use this place, so everything that we're using it for is okay.
There's positives and negatives to using the Mushroom Mines as a recreation center. So which side are you on? This is Crystal Boggs.
RC Cola, Norman Pies, Cracker Jacks just to get the prize. Riding her bike, Saturday morning cartoon, playing basketball all afternoon, and go back to a place called Lawton. Things have changed, but not forgotten. Raven Store in the Mushroom Mines, basketball in the Lawton Mines. Things have changed, but not forgotten. And we grew up in the town of Lawton.
4:49, you are tuned to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. All Things Considered from NPR is coming up at 5 o'clock. And Sean has sports. He's up right now.
The Battle on the Bayou. Good afternoon for Moorhead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Sean Delaney. The New Orleans Saints host the Atlanta Falcons in Monday Night Football. MSPR's Kenzie Thompson has a preview.
The 0-2 Saints will be looking to get their season on track. New Orleans is struggling offensively, and running back Mark Ingram says they need to be more effective with their ground game, which has produced just 129 yards in two games. This could be a good matchup for the Saints. The 1-1 Falcons are tied for 25th in the NFL in run defense and have allowed their opponents to rush 4.6 yards a carry. However, quarterback Matt Ryan has thrown for 300 yards in each of his last two games, along with 5 touchdown passes. Kickoff begins at 8:30. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio Sports, I'm Kenzie Thompson.
The Cincinnati Bengals are dealing with their first 1-2 start in 5 seasons. Behind Trevor Siemian's 4 touchdown passes Sunday, Denver handed the Bengals a 29-17 loss at Paul Brown Stadium. Coach Marvin Lewis says his team just needs to grind and get better, and part of that involves eliminating crucial mistakes.
Killed ourselves today with penalties, and that's us. We can't do that. We can't let that happen as coaches, where we get the penalties that allow the drives to continue today on third down for them, which made a big difference. I think probably in every scoring drive they had, there was a third down converted by penalty.
The Bengals were flagged for 9 penalties yesterday for 69 yards. They'll try to get back on the winning side of things Thursday night when they face Miami. Despite the Eagles' 1-3 record, Morehead State football coach Rob Tenure remains confident in his team. MSU nearly came all the way back from a 30-8 deficit Saturday in its PFL opener at Drake, scoring 3 fourth-quarter touchdowns and losing to the Bulldogs 30-28. The Eagles had the chance to tie the game with 1:09 left to play, but failed on a 2-point conversion try. Tenure says it was a tough defeat, but he's proud of the grit that his team and his players showed.
Man, what a battle. That was a great game. I'm disappointed we came up short. Felt like we had opportunities there early on, and we kind of squandered them away. But this is what the Pioneer Football League is about. Those kind of games you're going to play every week.
The Eagles return to Jane Stadium this coming Saturday at 1 p.m. to entertain Valparaiso. After a disappointing start to this year, the Kentucky football team is now enjoying a 2-game winning streak, thanks to Saturday's 17-10 home victory over South Carolina. Coach Mark Stoops says the Wildcats' defense, which had allowed 131 points to its first 3 opponents of the season, stepped up and made plays in critical situations against the Gamecocks.
Getting them behind the chains, getting them to some second and long and third and long, and getting off the field. See, we're 3-13, so that's where the game's been for us. We've been really not executing and not playing to our potential on third downs. And so when you can get off the field, you limit your opportunities, you limit yards and points and the whole deal.
The Cats will get a chance to show how much they've improved this coming weekend when they visit top-ranked Alabama. Fall practices are especially big for the Morehead State baseball team's newcomers, so says Coach Mike McGuire. According to McGuire, this is their chance to prove that they deserve a key role with the Eagles when the 2017 season starts in February.
For sure. Just getting the chance to see them, it's one thing to throw a bullpen, it's another thing to get outs in an inter-squad game. And, to see that. And then obviously, how guys perform at the plate, in pressure situations or when they're asked to do something offensively, move a runner along, get a bunt down. Drive a run in, those kind of things.
The MSU baseball team began fall practices last week. Morehead State volleyball team is preparing to visit an old foe later this week. MSU will try to improve its 1-1 OVC mark when it faces Eastern Kentucky Wednesday night. Coach Jamie Gordon says the Eagles will have to stay focused in facing their longtime rival in front of what's sure to be a hostile crowd.
You want to make sure that you're staying on task and staying focused, recognizing that we've got to execute our scouting report and make sure that we're taking care of things on our side of the net, and utilize that emotion to kind of give you a little bit of extra lift when you need it.
EKU is 0-2 in conference play. And finally, this afternoon, the family of Arnold Palmer is waiting until after the Ryder Cup this week for a public farewell. Alistair Johnson, the chief executive of Arnold Palmer Enterprises, said Monday at a news conference that a public ceremony to commemorate Palmer would be held at 11 a.m. on October 4th at St. Vincent's College in Latrobe, Pennsylvania. Johnson says the last thing Palmer would want is for a golf schedule to be interrupted. He says the funeral will be later this week and limited only to family. For Morehead State Public Radio Sports, I'm Sean Delaney.
SPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagle football will open its Pioneer Football League schedule by hosting Valparaiso on Saturday. Game time is 1 p.m. Tickets from the Morehead State Athletic Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. equities closed sharply lower, with financials and healthcare in particular lagging, as market watchers kept a close eye on a key OPEC meeting and looked ahead to the U.S. presidential debate. And the Dow Industrials finished with a loss of 166.62 at 18,094.83. The S&P 500 was down 18.59 at 2146.1. And the NASDAQ Composite was down 48.26 at 5257.49. New York Stock Exchange breadth was over 2 to 1 in favor of losing stocks over winners. In the crude markets, crude oil prices gained after media reports cited the Algerian energy minister saying all options were possible for an output cut or freeze, and U.S. oil rose 3.25% to settle at $45.93 a barrel. Investors also monitored shares of Deutsche Bank, which hit an all-time low after German Chancellor Angela Merkel had reportedly ruled out helping the bank with its U.S. legal troubles, and Deutsche Bank stock was down 7%. And Deutsche's fall weighed heavily on European equities in general, with the pan-European stock 600 index dropping 1.5%. Asian markets were down as well. In corporate news, Carnival, Calmaine Foods, and Vail Resorts all reported quarterly earnings before the bell. And, of course, the analysts are anticipating the upcoming third-quarter earnings season, which will kick off around October 10th. And, of course, many on Wall Street anticipate another poor, another quarter showing negative earnings growth year over year. And gold futures for December delivery settled $2.40 higher at $1,344.10 an ounce. And in terms of the New York Stock Exchange individual stocks, your best performers were Apple and Procter & Gamble. Your worst performers were Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan. And in the S&P 500, your best performers were Transocean and Diamond Offshore Drilling. And your worst performers were Mallinckrodt and Indo International. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Incorporated down 25 cents at $117.97, CSX up 7 cents at $29.71, AEP down 27 cents at $66.39, AK Steel up 11 cents at $5.07, Marathon Petroleum down 81 cents at $41.47, and Valvoline was up 89. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Taking a look at your weather for the surrounding area, including the counties of Rowan, Carter, and Bath. Tonight will be mostly clear, isolated showers in the evening, lows in the lower 50s. Tuesday will be sunny with highs in the lower 70s. That night, mostly clear, lows in the upper 40s. Wednesday, partly sunny with a 40% chance of showers and highs in the lower 70s. Wednesday night, mostly cloudy with a 20% chance of showers and lows in the upper 40s. Thursday will be partly sunny with a 30% chance of showers and highs in the upper 60s. And Friday will be partly sunny with a 40% chance of showers and highs in the upper 60s. Taking a look at the temperatures for some of the surrounding cities, it is currently 74 degrees in Ashland. It is currently 64 degrees in Flemingsburg, 74 degrees in Inez. Lexington is sitting at 67 degrees. It is 65 degrees in Winchester. And on the campus of Morehead State University, it is currently 67 degrees.
And that will bring the curtain down on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had assistance from Chuck Mraz, Ellen Barnett, Samantha Morrill, Courtney Howell, Sean Delaney, Jacob Lindberg, Xavier Atkins, Kenzie Thompson, Kyle Blankenbuehler, and Tilden Johnson. Our feature this afternoon was from Morehead State University student Crystal Boggs. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Ashley Chapman and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Morehead State Public Radio News. ATC is next. It's 5 o'clock.